Bob Bryan is the new president of the 500 Festival. He's only the fourth president of the history of the 500 Festival. One of the premier festivals in this country, on an order with the Orange Bowl Parade and Festival, on the order of the Rose Bowl Parade and Festival. We had the opportunity to talk to him yesterday about the opportunity that he sees here in Indianapolis and where the festival is going to be going.
Okay, the month of May is nearly over. All the 500 festival festivities have ended. And coming to town to start planning for the 2014 500 Festival is their new president and CEO, only the fourth in the history of the festival. His name is Bob Bryant. He is the pride of Atlanta, and he's about to be the pride of Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Mr. Bryant, welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Amos, and I sure hope I can live up to that. I tell you, it's an exciting time for us, and we've myself and my wife have been able to see most all the events through May and get up there and see it firsthand, and we've been very impressed. So we're really looking forward to it.
What attracted you to this opportunity? I mean, you've been down in Atlanta. You worked for Turner Broadcasting and the Cartoon Network, of all things, and you've been very, very active in organizations in the Atlanta area. What attracted you to this opportunity here in Indianapolis?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I think truthfully that this is a very rare opportunity. I think even, you know, at the outset when you say it's only the fourth CEO the organization has had, given their almost 60-year history in the variety of events that they put on and the fact that it's at its core is a nonprofit entity and one that is very engaged in community activities, and then it's got even more heritage and history in having a relationship to the Indy 500 and the Speedway and how it can support what they do out there. It's just really a rare combination of things. And I think then, through the process, getting to know the board and getting to know a little bit more about Indianapolis and just being incredibly impressed by it. And I should add the staff as well. I think, you know, everything we've attended and everything we've done has been so well executed, and the activations have all been just spot on. So I think all that just added up to something that was good timing for us and something that's exciting.
What do you see as the challenges for the 500 Festival as it approaches its 60th anniversary? Is it just building on what has worked before?
I think it's a combination. I happen to have some time with the outgoing CEO, with Kirk Hendricks, who'd had it roughly the last 10 years, and he had expressed that, you know, it's just a really good time to get some fresh eyes on everything because things are working well, things are well executed and well attended, and it's kind of a good time to look at it and say, you know, this really isn't about coming in to fix anything, obviously. It's more about what are other opportunities, what are maybe some things, whether they're embellishments to what are currently done, ways to make things grow a little bit here and there, or maybe even new things to add to the mix in terms of events. So I look forward to that, and really the next 2 weeks we'll have the next 3 weeks or so, we'll have a staff retreat, we'll have a board retreat, and everybody has an opportunity to go through literally every single event and look at what worked well, what might there be changes in, what are ideas for things that can be done differently, and then sometimes even say, what are some ideas about things that are new that we haven't done before? And I really want to sort of honor that process and get a little more input, obviously, as a new guy, hear a little bit more from the staff and the board and other stakeholders and constituents and all the things that the festival does.
When the 500 Festival started back in 1956, 1957, there was barely 70,000, 80,000 African Americans in the Indianapolis area. There were virtually no Hispanics. Today in the Indianapolis metropolitan area, there's 300,000 African Americans, over 100,000 Hispanics. So we're looking at a fourfold growth in the African American community, a gazillion percentage growth in the Hispanic community. And I know you're coming from Atlanta, one of the most diverse metropolitan areas in the country. Is one of the challenges for the 500 Festival, you know, improving on its diversity both inside the office and at all of its events?
I don't know if it's a challenge as much as it certainly should be a goal and be something that we're aware of. At the very least, You know, I know from coming from tennis and from the USTA, there's been a kind of a long goal in the last several years for the USTA to say, you know, looking at tennis participation, for instance, and saying, are we at least mirroring the community? Mm-hmm. So in that way, you know, at the very least, you can look at from a board makeup, from sponsorship, from fans and patrons and community outreach and where we're doing things, are we at least mirroring what the current Indianapolis community has in terms of diversity? And I think that would kind of be the first step and say, you know, are we or aren't we, and what are we doing to make sure that we in essence are appealing to or participating in the same demographic, if you will, mix that the community itself has. I think that's, you know, I think that's just a natural of what we should be doing if we're going to be engaged in community and doing all the events that we do. And I think there's a lot of things that the festival currently does to make sure that they're reaching out in a variety of places. So that's another item that, of course, I need more input on mm-hmm. from current staff and board members to get a better sense of where they are and what ideas we might have to add to that.
And you've been working with tennis, and I know tennis as an industry, you know, whether it's working through junior tennis and others, you know, have done a good, and the Arthur Ashe initiatives have done a good job reaching out to communities of color.
Well, I think they have, and I think it's obviously something they want to continue to do. I think on our sort of micro level with our tournament that's in Atlanta, we moved it into a very vibrant middle of the city location that is actually majority African American population in terms of its daytime population and even its sort of residential and office and working environment. And we've done a lot to partner with a lot of different constituencies. And you know, as you mentioned at the outset, Atlanta is a highly diverse community. So we found that we have, again, mirroring that, we have one of the most diverse patron sort of population of any tournament that's out there in the U.S. So, you know, I think that anything that we can learn from that, we would certainly want to apply to, you know, what we do in Indianapolis.
And I mentioned in the introduction that you spent 5 years with Turner Broadcasting and the Cartoon Network. So does this mean at next year's 2014 IPL 500 Festival Parade, you'll get some of your Cartoon Network buddies to be in the parade?
Well, you know, you never know. We had some good fortune with Turbo this year with a new movie that was launching, and I think maybe there's more that we can do with Turbo going forward. But I definitely think that, you know, I remember the days of some of our early original productions at Cartoon Network with Dexter's Lab and the Powerpuff Girls,
yes.
And I did a lot of work on whatever we would do off-channel with our new Cartoon Network properties and characters. And one of the things we did is we actually had Dexter in a Macy's Day Parade for a couple of years. So I'll certainly see what might be able to be worked out to add to the fun of the parade.
I sense a Powerpuff Girls reunion at next year's fight. See, well, if you use that idea, I want to find your speed.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. If that happens, you're in.
Bob Bryant, first of all, you're filling some very, very big shoes at the 500 Festival, going back to the legendary initial President Joe Hawk and then Liz Craft and obviously your predecessor. You've got some really big shoes. You're sort of like you're going to be following like Peyton Manning. You're going to have to be like Andrew Luck.
Now, if we let Kirk know that he's being compared to Peyton Manning, I think we're all in trouble. But no, I agree. Even not just following people, but just following again the history and the heritage of everything that's been built, and really, I think all the way down to the staff. In some early interviews, even some staff members talked about how they just felt fortunate to work on something that meant so much to the entire community and that they knew long after they were gone it would still be meaning something to the community. And those are fun. I mean, to me, that's nothing but fun to be engaged in that way and to be involved in something that everybody knows about and everybody can participate in. But it's certainly some real responsibility comes with following in those shoes of people who've led that cause in the past. And I think our board members feel that as well as they cycle in and out of the cycle on the board. I have felt that through the whole process, that everybody really recognizes that history and recognizes sort of what it means, and that there's some real responsibility to that. So I certainly don't take it lightly, and if I can have some of the same luck that Peyton's predecessor had in his first year, I should be okay.
He is Bob Bryant. He is the new president and CEO of the 500 Festival. He'll start full-time the middle of June. Good luck to you, and if there's anything that we can do, please don't hesitate to let us know here at AM 1310, The Light, WTLC.